Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Del Brockett, the National Institute of Standards and Technology's Chief Information Officer. Del, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you for the invitation.
Well, you've been the NIST CIO now for just about a year and a half. Give me a sense, how's it going?
It has been a fantastic experience. I really resonate with the mission here at NIST. As you perhaps know, NIST is a lot of science and research in that space, and it's something that I strongly believe in, and I also believe that IT has a fantastic role in supporting those types of missions.
Now, your background before coming to NIST, you worked at the private sector for most of your career. What drew you to NIST? How did you end up applying for that and getting that job? A lot of times I hear great stories about, well, you know, I just kind of threw some spaghetti against the wall and this would happen, or I used to work with so-and-so and then they told me I should apply, it'd be great for it. Give me a little bit of background.
Well, you're right. My career up to this point has been spent both in privately held companies as well as publicly traded organizations. What drew me to NIST was really an opportunity to contribute to a mission that I felt strongly about and I felt that was important. And really being able to contribute and make a difference in something that you care about is a pretty cool thing to be able to do. As far as my application process, I'm hopeful that I didn't throw spaghetti against the wall. I applied through USA Jobs. I was filling out ECQs and PTQs. When I spoke to some of my friends about applying and going through that process, they somewhat gave me a look of, you know, I feel sorry for you. But I really didn't feel that it was a hard process to go through. And as far as the interview process, it pretty much paralleled those types of interviews that I've either been through or conducted in the private sector as well.
Now, had you applied previously to other jobs in the federal government, or did this one just kind of pop up on your radar?
Through probably about 2 years prior to my application at NIST, I did apply to other positions, but I was specifically very interested in the mission of NIST and kind of was watching for opportunities here. And when the CIO opportunity came up, it's something that I was very interested in.
You know, NIST is, I always tell people, NIST is one of those places, if I ever get a chance to have a second life, I'll come back as a NIST scientist, because they definitely have some of the best jobs in government.
They really do.
Give me a sense of the big change. I mean, obviously, any new job has a learning curve. Was there a bigger learning curve to move to NIST because it is government, because it is R&D, or is it very similar to maybe some of the other jobs that you kind of went through in the private sector?
Yeah, it's interesting. And the one aspect for me was a change was coming into a research organization. My background is in the sciences and obviously in the technology fields, and I've worked for many different types of company, but this was really an organization that was most research based. So that was a change. On the other side, you know, I've heard a lot of discussion. In fact, I had not a concern, but I was just watchful for, were there differences in how the organization ran or the role of IT? And maybe in the past, there's been a difference between governmental roles of IT versus private sector or organizations on the private side and how they deal with IT. My impression is that those two spaces are starting to align more and more. You know, in many ways, when I look at IT organizations, I always kind of think through how they perceive themselves or what their metrics or drivers are. You know, you have some organizations that see as, you know, their kind of focus or their framework is really running the technology of IT. And what you typically find in those types of organizations is it's really about the technology. You know, can we run the servers? Can we run email? Can we focus on the technology? Sometimes organizations require that. Other organizations, IT organizations, are really focused on the process side of the business. You know, what processes can we improve? How can we drive efficiencies around those processes? You tend to find those organizations with a lot of business analysts, process reengineering being kind of the driver, where the majority of organizations that I've worked for have really been focused is really on the kind of this third area, and it's really about creating business value or creating value for the business. And typically, certainly in a CIO role, it's about understanding the business model, participating kind of in that strategy sphere, product development, external services, and how IT can both support and drive value in those. What I found here at NIST is that we're in somewhat of a similar view of IT. You know, it really is this evolution from a process-oriented organization to a real business driver, business-focused organization. And the way that gets interpreted here is that it's really about mission. And IT's value here is really looking at that mission, driving towards that mission and supporting that. And that really is a lot, it feels for me a lot similar to the private sector companies that I've worked for.
One of the big challenges anyone comes from the private sector is the rules, the regulations, the acronyms, especially around IT that you come in and you have to learn. Did someone give you a cheat sheet or how are you doing with, can you talk the talk yet? Make sure my 300 business case meets my FISMA requirements that come from the Schedule 70 buying that I'm doing. Can you talk it yet?
Now, wait a minute, Jason. I want you to slow down because I'm writing down all those numbers because maybe you're giving me the cheat sheet today.
We could develop one. That would be a great business model.
You know, like every organization, there is a language and a lexicon and a process for doing things. Certainly it is different here than other organizations, but I can say that just from the other organizations that I've worked at, there's always a change. There's always a lexicon and a process to be used to. So while it is different, I haven't found the learning process to be that much more difficult.
Is there one area that you did have to get used to? Like if you'd point out like the acquisition process, a lot of people say, in private sector, if you want to do business with your company X wants to do business with company Y, you go to them and say, okay, let's do business. But obviously in the government, for instance, you have to put the bid out and you have to have a full and open competition or it has to be a fair competition, obviously. Have you had experience like that? Now, I know you don't do acquisitions per se, but has anything popped up like that you kind of scratch your head a little bit and go, that was interesting?
Yeah, you know, certainly the acquisition process is something that gets the focus here. While it's different, working in large companies, Fortune 500 companies, while the process details may be different, certainly acquisitions is an activity that has a high degree of oversight, very similar to the federal space. And so, yeah, the details are somewhat different. You know, the timeline, the process is somewhat elongated. I haven't found it yet to be an issue in terms of, you know, meeting objectives or kind of moving things forward in an IT role.
Very good. And I think that's one of the things that people, you know, when you come in from the private sector tend to get frustrated by is that acquisition process because they want to get stuff done now. And, you know, you see that with CIOs and other high-ranking officials at agencies who say, I just couldn't get anything done. So I think that if you come in knowing what you're up against, and to a certain extent, you probably can deal with it a little better than if you come in thinking you can just turn the battleship very quickly.
You know, one of the things that we've done here and we're hoping to do more of as we move forward is leverage. NIST is part of the Department of Commerce, and our view is where we can leverage strategic sourcing contracts that are department-wide and in place. It's something that we are very much interested in. It definitely shortens that acquisition cycle in those types of areas.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and you maybe gave us a little bit of a heads up on some of your priorities. When we come back, we're going to jump right into what you want to get done over the next 6 or 9 months. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Del Brockett, the National Institute of Standards and Technology's Chief Information Officer.
Disabled American Veterans is dedicated to one single purpose: building better lives for America's disabled veterans. May 18th through the 20th, in the company of the vintage B-25 Mitchell Bomber, DAV brings its message of support for veterans to the Joint Base Andrews Air Show. In its modern-day mission with DAV, the B-25 serves as a reminder of the sacrifices veterans make for freedom. Meet the DAV flight team with the B-25 at the Joint Base Andrews Air Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Del Brockett, the National Institute of Standards and Technology's Chief Information Officer. Now, Del, before break, we talked a little bit about your background, how coming to NIST, you had a little bit of a learning curve. Let's talk about your priorities. Obviously, NIST is one of those organizations that does a lot of many different things, but you really focus on the internal IT, you know, making sure the NIST scientists and researchers have the technology they need to meet that mission. So give me a sense of what are your priorities over the next 6 or 9 months?
Well, Jason, as we look forward, we really have identified three priorities for our organization. The first is to continue to mature our IT service management practice and complete our migration to V3. The second is a focus on IT innovation and aligning that with our organization. And then third is IT security.
All right, three basically wide-ranging priorities. So let's go through them, each of them separately. Let's start with the mature your IT services and migration to V3. What is V3? Let me start there.
Well, we use a service management framework called IDLE. And IDLE has just recently come up with a third version of their implementation. IDLE allows an IT organization to really look at its processes from a framework standpoint. Things like how we deal with changes, problems, knowledge management, request fulfillment, those types of processes that are the internal aspects of IT.
And the goal here is to obviously move to version 3, so therefore you can improve how you do those processes?
Absolutely. And we are looking to transition in June to a new cloud-based platform that will allow us to manage those. And we're looking at a phase 1 in June and then a phase 2 to handle some more additional features later this year.
Give me a sense of that cloud-based platform. Are we talking basically infrastructure as a service?
It's an application that we are using, delivered via a cloud provider. And what it does is allow us to focus really on the business aspects of what this provides for us versus actually running the infrastructure components.
And when you talk about an application, so this is an application based on the ITIL framework that lets you do these things around these IT processes?
Correct. It allows us to map and then to also implement those processes as we run the IT organization here at NIST.
And what's that output? I mean, do you get like a dashboard type of, that you can see where you're at or how things are working? Or because it just seems, you know, help me understand what that actually means when you say you do a cloud-based process.
So you can think of it as pretty much a workflow tool that allows us to manage the workflow within IT. Those workflows are both mapped and then enabled through this SaaS application. A great example is our help desk services. When we have customers who are interacting with our help desk, that environment is that tracks the requests, that ensures that those requests are fulfilled. That environment is delivered via a cloud-based application.
Okay, I think that's much more clear. I mean, just, you know, everything's in the cloud nowadays, so you got to take it always down to the next level of what that really means.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is the IT services just about ITIL, or is there more to it?
There's more to it, and really, when we look at our deployment and really that service management model, having that mature practice is critical as we look at our own organization, our IT organization, and see it in the future. What it really does is allows us to create this transparency in both the performance of our services, IT services, as well as the cost. It allows us also to drive efficiencies within IT. As many organizations are using the IDLE framework, we then get an ability to compare our performance with other organizations in both governmental organizations as well as private sector organizations. And that's important for us because when we look at IT services, one of our goals is to drive those efficiencies specifically in those common set of practices or commodity-based IT capabilities. So it gives us a chance to benchmark those with other organizations and drive those cost and performance efficiencies to where they need to be. The other is that a service management model allows us also to really focus on the value of those services to our customers. And at the end of the day, that's really the objective I have with regards to service management, is ensuring that our services well understood, transparent in cost, and aligned with our customers.
There's two things I want to follow up with you on about this, but let me start with the latter of the two, which is you just mentioned value to customers. That's something that you're hearing a lot throughout the government. Many other CIOs are basically looking at this. How do we make sure IT has that value? People understand the value. How are you guys trying to focus on that value? Is there a process you're doing, or is it part of that ITIL framework?
One of the things that we are doing is that if you look at our organization, and like many other CIO organizations, historically we've been organized around functional roles. You know, I have a data center organization, I have a application development organization, and those are important because obviously we manage those features or those functions. We're also developing here at NIST kind of a matrix type approach to our resources as well around how do customers engage with us to both define and deliver those types of services. And so we have a number of roles that we're looking at that in the private sector are referred to as business engagement managers. Their role is to specifically work with our separate customers, or the different laboratories here at NIST, to both define and ensure that the services that they receive from IT meet their needs.
The other piece you mentioned was the idea of driving efficiencies, common set of practices, commodity-based IT, a big push from the Office of Management and Budget around commodity IT. But it's also a big push, as you said earlier, from the Commerce Department itself in terms of trying to gain some efficiencies through IT. How does your initiative kind of complement what's going on more broadly across commerce?
We line up very well. In many ways, our vision of being able to effectively manage these services to drive cost points, not just with a vision of NIST being able to drive those cost points lower, but taking a much more strategic view of these services, help desk purchasing of endpoint devices or PCs, and really looking at a much larger ecosystem, obviously in our case, the Department of Commerce, but also federal government-wide, looking at where we can leverage that type of buying power. I will say key to that process is an understanding of the performance metrics that your organization requires in each of those services. And again, this is another value that service management, specifically IT service management, provides to us, is that with a clearly defined set of performance metrics, it allows us to truly understand where we can gain efficiencies and where we can be very effective in our cost model.
Let me jump over to one of your other priorities. You said IT innovation. Give me a sense of what that one is focused on.
Well, this is one that I have a great deal of passion around. As an organization that does science research, that highly values the collaborative process, and in many ways sees its own mission in the innovation space, it is key that an IT organization can align or can drive innovation in the IT space to meet those requirements. IT organizations everywhere talk about innovation and the drive for innovation. My perspective on this is that when IT alone sees IT innovation as its goal, it typically fails. IT innovation is best done in a collaborative way with your stakeholders and customers. And it has been my goal to really expand the conversation of IT innovation outside of the OCIO organization and really see it as a parallel effort between stakeholders, customers, and the OCIO. One of the things that we've done in order to drive that forward has been to talk about, with our customers, IT innovation roadmaps. And it's in these areas that we've identified five innovation areas that our customers have prioritized and collectively have built roadmaps where we see functionality or technologies being introduced, not just in a single budget cycle or in a single annual year, but really in a 3 to 5 year time frame. What it does is it gives both sides an ability to focus and plan towards how IT innovations are affecting their business. And so from a planning standpoint, not only do I have a benefit in the IT organization, but my customers do as well. The other thing that we do is that we often look at innovations in terms of an iterative approach that is filled with a number of different pilot efforts that we do in collaboration with our customers. And it gives both the IT organization as well as our customer organization an ability to look at technology and to experience it before we start to kind of roll it out into production. And I think that's been another key area that we've seen tremendous growth and progress here at NIST.
All right, a couple of things to definitely follow up with you about, but first I want to take a break and we'll come back. We'll talk more about innovation. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Del Brockett, the National Institute of Standards and Technology's Chief Information Officer.
Do you enjoy a good laugh and want to support a great cause? Join us for Laugh Riot for Mobile Med, a night of comedy, food, and drink at the Hyatt Regency Bethesda. Nationally known comedians Chris Kosha and John Muma and Dave George will perform on Friday, May 4th from 7 to 9 p.m. $50 tickets include hors d'oeuvres and two drinks. All proceeds will benefit Mobile Med services for the uninsured. Contact info at mobilemedicalcare.org or visit the website mobilemedicalcare.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Del Brockett, the National Institute of Standards and Technology's Chief Information Officer. Now, Del, before break, you're giving us a whole rundown about your innovation priority, and you piqued my interest on two areas. So let me start with the first one. You said you've identified five areas with your customers that you've prioritized over the next 3 to 5 years. Give me a sense of what are some of those five areas.
Well, the first one is mobile applications and the development or migration of both the services that we provide inside of NIST, but also the external services that we provide to our customers, the migration of those to include mobile capabilities. Second is collaboration tools and technologies. This would include things like the email services, collaboration, co-editing of documents. We also include in here business intelligence and the ability to look at different data aspects of our business and drive analytics in that area. The third is user device and remote access. You know, we've seen just a growth of user devices that are available to our users. Certainly this includes the current rush towards the tablet form, but for NIST, it also includes a wide diversity of compute devices on the desktop, Windows, Mac, Linux, etc. Fourth, network and security services. We're looking at innovations in our network area, and security is, as I've said before, one of our priorities. And then finally, not last or least, but it's the data center consolidation and cloud computing efforts that we believe are a target of our innovation services as well.
And now each of those seem probably have some pilots with them, because you mentioned that's the other piece of it. There's some pilot efforts you're doing. Can you go through maybe a few of your more significant pilots?
From a strategy standpoint, we have introduced this idea or concept of pilots as, you know, an important part of our ability to both understand these innovation areas, but also have our customers participate in those processes. And I can talk about one that we've recently concluded and actually gone to production with. In late 2011, we started a pilot for tablet computing, and our device choice there was Apple's iPad. And our pilot included about 100 users here at NIST and looked at different capabilities of the product, the processes for managing the product, how this product was affecting science and the research side, the administration side as well. After that pilot concluded, we believed that we understood the cost model and the support models well enough, is that we'll, in June of this year, we'll be introducing that service as a production supported service for our customers. And the interesting thing here is that you never really know what those kind of unique innovation areas or use areas are going to be. And when you begin a pilot, in many ways, our tablet effort brought a tremendous amount of potential value to the labs. A number of our scientists found unique uses for an iPad or a tablet in their daily work in terms of interacting with laboratory equipment. And so it actually allowed us not only to bring forward a tablet environment for kind of the normal administration side of the organization, but we're also developing a tablet environment for the science and research side of the organization as well.
Now, you said in June you're going to a production environment. Do you expect people to come to you in droves wanting iPads? And have you dealt with the idea of both security, obviously a secure network connection, as well as the more important thing a lot of people talk about is the acquisition of them? Is it a BYOD, bring your own device production?
We're not rolling out a BYOD environment. These would be actually purchased devices, NIST-owned devices. We're comfortable with the security environment that we've deployed on the pilots. And I think you bring up the right point, is that moving from a pilot environment to a production environment requires not only that the technology be right, but the processes by which those technologies are supported and acquired have also been thought through. And that's really, over the last 3 months, what we've been within the OCIO organization have been really looking at in terms of the mobile device, the tablet device environment, is do we have the right service characteristics and processes in place to support that.
One thing you hear about people in the science world, they love their Macs. You know, I remember doing stories back in the early 2000s about Apple's really starting to get a foothold in specific scientific organizations in the government. So I'm sure that there's a lot of interest in iPads, but what about some of the other tablets? Obviously, BlackBerry has a playbook, they're in playbook. Are you looking at those other potential tablet computers right now, or is that maybe coming later?
No. Well, we were out of the box initially with the Apple product. We really see our tablet strategy as much more diverse than just one vendor. And so we'll be looking at, you know, other vendors, obviously. We'll be looking at Android as well as other both manufacturers and operating systems. in that environment. So yeah, we would envision that eventually our mobile environment, our tablet environment, will be multi-vendor.
All right, I think that's always good news for those other vendors and those people who, there's not everyone who's a big Apple fan too. So, you know, obviously you got to worry about that.
Absolutely.
One of the other, is there other pilots you're looking at? I mean, maybe around cloud computing or data center or even security?
Another pilot that we're looking at is the way in which we introduce elastic compute here, and we have taken an approach that we believe that the best environment to meet our needs is really a hybrid environment, where not only do we have public cloud space, but we also have private cloud space. And importantly, is that we understand and can manage the connection between those environments, and that in many ways, we don't see them as separate environments. We really see them as two parts to a whole. And so we have been beginning a pilot around both understanding public cloud vendors, you know, building pilot cases of private cloud vendors here at NIST, and also understanding what it takes to move both data and applications back and forth between those. So that's something that we're just starting right now. We'll probably run through the end of this fiscal year with that pilot, and then with our customers and stakeholders, make a decision as to where we go with that.
And when you say private clouds, just so I can make sure we understand it, are you talking about a cloud that, let's say, NIST runs and, you know, in your own data center, or is it a private cloud more of you contract with company X who carons off a bit of their cloud for just you guys and your data?
In our pilot effort, we're looking at both of those cases, both where NIST in our own data center has a private cloud, but also where we go to a vendor and create those private cloud environments specifically for NIST. Again, in our pilot effort, our intent is to understand the pros and cons of each of those. And, you know, where we go from a production standpoint, we're going to have to wait and see.
And just one last one on that, because I think it's interesting, is are you looking at mission-critical applications, or are you looking at some of those collaboration applications?
Initially, we are looking at those services that are specifically for collaboration-based services. And as you can imagine here at NIST, because our mission is so science and research-driven, collaboration is a big part of what our stakeholders and customers do. And that collaboration doesn't only occur between NIST scientist A and NIST scientist B. It really occurs in addition to those internal collaborations. There is also a need to support collaboration with outside organizations, and whether they're other government agencies, universities, industries, et cetera, those are the types of collaborations that we're also focused on. And so understanding the tool set, the capabilities, and the services that cloud environments can bring to that problem set is important for us to understand. It's also important for our customers.
Very nice. Sounds like we could talk a lot longer, but unfortunately we are out of time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today was Del Brockett, the National Institute of Standards and Technology's Chief Information Officer. Del, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you very much, Jason.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.